Ashley.
Taryn.
I have a fact.
Of course you do.
I know you hate this, but I feel like you'll love this.
I don't hate this.
Hocus Pocus was supposed to be a completely different movie that went with a much darker and scarier script.
Oh my God.
And Leonardo DiCaprio
shut the front
was
door.
Courted to play teenage heartthrob Max Dennison, but he turned it down to appear in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Oh my God. Like history.
Whoa. Right? That was like yes. one of his like movies that launched him.
Oh, that was one of the, that was the big ones with Depp.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
And Hocus Pocus would have been darker, which would have been cool, but like...
A darker Hocus Pocus sounds yeah. like a dream come true, honestly. That sounds amazing.
Isn't that cool?
I feel like they should do that.
I feel like you should with a separate, acknowledge darker
Hocus Pocus.
How much you learn from this Taryn's Factor
Taryn,
Fiction.
Taryn, I don't hate the Factor Fiction.
Bring
I don't
out
hate
the
it.
Receipts. Bring out the receipts.
I'm upset. I don't hate it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Unsolicited Advice, October series, episode what, four? Is this four?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes. We got a
Mark said
up.
Yes. episode four. This is our second to last one. We are doing a bonus episode for Halloween.
Yes, we are.
If you guys are unaware, we are an advice podcast. But we do only spooky stories from you guys. You guys write in scary stories that you've experienced or known of or whatever, mm-hmm. and we read them on the pod, which is super fun. If you guys aren't subscribed,
do it.
Just take a moment right now, you know, subscribe to the podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Taryn has a YouTube channel. I have a YouTube channel. We both have Instas. Do you think, follow us. We're a good time.
Do it. I know that you leave every episode being like, I just wish I knew a little bit more.
I just want a little more Ashley connection. And Taryn in my life.
So
you can have it.
You can.
With the click of a button.
Click of a button. I am really excited about this one because both of my, I have a Taryn It Up and my story are both from two people that I love.
Which is so nice.
I was like, there was such a pause after so I was like,
such a pause or was it just a pause?
Like, I feel like you're
exaggerating a little bit.
Should we have like a pause? Should we have like a playback feature?
Yeah, we should.
Where it'll be like, Mark, play. How do you say it?
You know what? I want a button. Mark, can we get a playback button?
That'd be button great. That's like, what do you say? What even is?
Roll it back.
Roll it back. Yeah. Okay. Because not from the top.
Yeah. Because okay, top's okay. too far back.
Yeah. Okay.
Just, yeah. what is this nonsense. Intro?
Me and Ash both went on vacation and we really haven't spent any time together.
Guys,
so.
Guys, and I know this is going to, do not take this the wrong way. I love.
When I make you miss me?
When we separate for a bit.
Yeah.
And come back because the reunion is so sweet.
It's so sweet.
I was like on my way back. On like about to hop on the flight and I was listening to our episode and it hit me how much I missed you.
I could tell.
I started texting her because I hadn't really texted you that much. You
no.
were on the, we were allowing each other to be present in
giving
our vacation.
Each other space.
You know, which is healthy in a relationship.
Yeah.
and I was like, hi, I miss you.
I know. She started like blowing at my phone and I was like, you miss me. Ashley is one of those people who like, she does not throw you a bone. Like, she's not, like, just randomly just like, I just love you. You're my bestest friend. Like, sometimes you gotta, like, work for her affection. So when she does miss me, I, like, soak it in. I'm like, love
Bring
me.
It in.
Choose me.
The spotlight comes down on you. And Taryn's just there, like, soaking it all up.
Cut
so
to
funny.
Me just being like, I have to go on a trip. Every, like, month.
Once a month, Taryn disappears so that I miss her.
Yeah. But anyway, so we're reunited for October series,
and
of course.
It feels so good.
Feels great. And should we just like go?
Yeah. I feel that.
So to set up the Taryn It Up, I just want all of you to know, we hear you when you request my mom to send in stories.
Uh-huh.
But can you also just leave this poor woman alone? Like, how much torture do you want a person to go through in their life?
If you guys are new and haven't listened to our previous October series episodes, Taryn's mom has been through it. She has gone through some of the craziest stuff, and she's been so sweet and written in her stories, which were terrifying. So if you haven't listened to it, definitely listen to those. But when you guys say you want more of Taryn's mom's stories, just you have to realize a real human being experienced all
my
this.
My mother. And like, you know how, like, I think one of the ways I'm able to get through all of this is there's a degree of separation.
Right.
Like, I'm like, okay, yes. Did that make me pee a little? Yes. But like, I can also pretend that I'm like, it's not real. It never happened, because I don't like know the person like personally. But when it's your mother, like, that just has made me like, it's all possible. Like,
yeah,
attempted murder, like being burnt alive, like all the stuff she's gone through. I'm like,
burnt
can
alive.
Y'all chill? She needs a second. So anyways, I was like, Mom, do you have any other stories? So then she was telling me a story, and I was like, okay, well, that's totally like more of like tearing it up. Mm-hmm. So she's so sweet. Last night, she was like so tired from work, but she sat and wrote, because she was like, of course, honey.
Mama
like, she's the best. She's literally the best.
So sweet.
So because you guys requested it so much, here is a short story from Taryn's mom.
Yay.
Round of applause. Okay. This is titled, Never Hug a Lady with a Fur Coat.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Taryn and Ashley. Sorry, Ashley, but if I did not put Taryn first, my mom ranking would have dropped low, even though I do think of you as my daughter, too.
We will talk later. Mama E. It's not
she
okay.
loves you. Oh, and then she says, I thought about putting Mark's name first, but nah. Sorry, Mark. Can you tell she's my mom?
Cute.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. Okay. And she put LOL, which I love you, Mom. You're so
she's
cute.
She's precious.
I know. Okay. So if any of you are a part of the OG UA October Halloween series, you know that I have had some crazy, scary situations in my life. I heard a Tearing It Up last week, and it brought to mind a not funny at the time Tearing It Up type thing that happened to Taryn's mom, aka me. Back when I was in junior high, our youth group went to one of the biggest haunted houses ever. It was a huge industrial warehouse that took about half an hour to make it through. That sounds literally like my nightmare.
That's a long time.
A warehouse? 30 minutes.
Even like at Horror Nights, max is maybe like 10 minutes.
I could not do it.
Max.
I could not do it.
30 minutes is a long time.
Yeah. She said that you had to sign a waiver to even enter. Red flag number two.
Sweet Jesus.
Red flag number two.
What is this?
I guarantee that some things in this house would be illegal today.
By illegal? Like touching?
You'll see.
Oh, God.
I'm not just going to spill the beans,
Ash.
Oh,
God.
Okay.
Because that's a rule at like Horror Nights and stuff. They're not allowed to touch you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Oh, my God.
I had been to one the year prior, and let me tell you, I thought I would never go back. But peer pressure and a really cute guy brought me back my freshman year.
Play on, playa. Okay. Can I tell
the cute guys
story? The cute guys always get you. It's not
this
fair.
This is so... This was, like, one of my, like... Anyways. I was talking to my mom about... something she didn't like again, like my first love, she hated him, mm-hmm. rightfully so. But after we were having this like talk, and she was trying to explain to me like the importance of dating, which I've never been a dater, still to this day, like it's really hard for me because I'm such a loyalist, and I'm like, I commit too hard, anyways.
Yeah.
So, she was like, honey, when I went to Biola, I went on like a different date. Like every week for like 12 weeks. Like I went out with like 12 different guys, just like feeling things out before I met your dad. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, congratulations, Mom. Like, meanwhile, me, I'm like, didn't have my first kiss till I was like 18. Like, just like not a dater. And I was just like, okay, well, good to know you were so popular. What's it like, you know? Anyways, my mom's the best. She's beautiful. It makes sense, you know?
Uh huh.
Okay. So, she continues, you are told the monsters will not touch you and you are not to touch them. About three-fourths through this maze of sheer terror with the adrenaline running extremely high. We enter a fully black and white checkered room with crazy bright strobe lights. It appears that no one is in there. Then out of the walls crawl these black and white checkered figures who turn around and are the scariest bloody looking creatures. With the strobe light, their movements are jittery and intense. I can literally like, I yeah. can picture it.
Yeah.
Like the light.
I've been in something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel nauseous. Okay. I could never make it through any of these. Okay. So then she says, one is coming right at me. I drop to the floor and start bear crawling as fast as I can towards the opening. I get to a darker blue light glowing area, which is out of the room. I get up and start running to find the floor go out from under me and the room is now shaking. What I did not realize is that I had ran into a waterbed type floor. Like, imagine running and then just being like
full speed yeah. falling. Oh my God.
And you can't get up and there's monsters around you.
Like, oh my
that's
God.
That's terrifying. I am now back on my knees crawling again to where I can see a handrail. I grab the handrail and lift myself back up and step on the floor right as a shock goes through my hand where the handrail is.
Oh my God.
So they electrocuted her. Like, there's no escape.
Oh my God.
Like, but this is something I can see this being like a haunted house where they're just like, let's get them. You know
let's
what I mean?
Let's get them.
Yeah.
Also, like, tell me why this stuff does happen at like church youth group.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen so many memes of like, why did our youth pastors actually try to kill yeah. us as kids? Because of the games we would play were always like so intense.
No, seriously. Oh my gosh. Okay. I let go and I grab the lady's fur coat in front of me and hang on as tight as I can. She starts trying to get me off, but I am not letting go. My eyes begin to adjust to the new room and the lady jerks around to look at me. That's when I realize that I'm not holding onto a lady with a fur coat. I'm holding onto a bloody, long-toothed, gorilla-type creature who roars at me loudly. I feel so bad for her. This is a movie. At that point, I am told that I passed out. How cool by one of my friends.
I am told.
I do not recollect. When I woke up, I only saw the gorilla and a few other monsters standing over me. That's literally, you remember a New Girl where he's on the floor
yeah,
and they all come and
Nick
he's like,
starts screaming.
That's my nightmare.
That's literally this. That's one of my favorite moments.
The best
Nick.
Scene, yeah. I screamed and began crawling again, then jumped up and started running as fast as I could through the crowd. One of the monsters, who I knew was not supposed to touch me, grabs my shoulders. I turn around as fast as I can, tighten my fist, and punch him right in the face. And I knocked him off his feet.
Yeah, you did.
Again, I take off running and I hear someone say, "You're not supposed to touch the monsters." So I yell back, "He touched me first." I saw an emergency exit sign burst through the door where a non-monster helped me. Evidently, there was a walkie-talkie message about some girl who passed out and then knocked out a monster that was just trying to help her.
Oh, but I mean, it's hard when you're scary looking.
Yeah.
What
your
do
senses
you do?
Are like so crazy. Luckily the guy helping me had sympathy on this poor little scared girl and he walked me to where my friends would eventually come out and I was reunited with my group. Moral of the story is never hug a lady with a fur coat in a haunted house.
Dude, I have been to Horror Nights once where there was like, if you have been to Universal's Horror Nights, they have a tram ride that they completely convert into a gigantic like walk-through horror maze. One of the parts is you go on the tram drops you off and you have to walk uphill to this like maze and the whole thing is haunted. So like,
okay.
there's monsters everywhere.
Yeah.
They'll be like hiding in bushes.
No.
You know? And I saw this person in front of me get scared by a bush person, literally punch them in the face. The bush person got so upset and rightfully so. Like, you're not supposed to touch them. And the person realized, like, you could tell it was just one of those, like, reflex moments where he didn't think he just swung because the guy scared him. He took off, like, full sprint. Full speed ahead, like busted through the crowd and was trying to get away from the bush person. But the bush person like throws his mask off and is like looking through the crowd and trying to chase him. And me and my friends are just sitting there like, whoa. It's wild, but
but that's like the stuff of nightmares, like someone chasing after you, like in a costume, like absolutely not.
So it's hard because like those are the rules, but at the same time, if you genuinely get scared, sometimes you don't really know what you're gonna do.
But see, that's why I always tell you I can't go, because one of two things will happen. One, I'll drop to the floor and just run, so I'll get lost, or I'm a hitter. Like, yeah. I grew up with brothers, like, if you get hit or scared, like, you swing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I know I'll either get kicked out or I'll get lost and just have a heart attack and choose death. Yes. Because I can't, like, it's too much for me.
What would happen is I just wouldn't, Taryn would get lost and I'd find her in Harry Potter world. Yeah. Because that's like a non-scary spot.
Trying to find Hagrid. Like, hold me.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Wow.
Thank you so much, Mom, for writing in. You are the best in all the land.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a really good one. Yeah, Mama E.
She's the cutest.
She knocked him out.
Knocked him out.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
Well, that was amazing. I love that it was like a very fitting Halloween tearing it up. Tearing it up.
Yeah.
Halloween, perfect.
Right?
Take note, people. Take note.
Right?
Just kidding. We love everything you said. Okay, I'm going to go ahead, since you did the tearing it up, I'm going to go ahead and do my story. This one is titled A Maine Ghost Story.
Okay.
Again, with you guys coming in with all the ghost stories.
Mine's not a ghost story.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, praise Jesus. Yeah. Thank God. Okay. Here we go.
That way we can half sleep through the night after today. Actually, no, because mine is terrifying too. So different kind of fear.
Oh my God. Okay. Hello, Ashley and Taryn.
Hi.
While many traditional ghost stories revolve around terrifying apparitions, feelings of dread, or truly frightful events, there appear to be almost as many that involve lighthearted spirits with not only a sense of humor, but a sense of justice as well. This is one of those stories. And I'm going to put a pin in this for a second. This person wrote this story so well. I just want to take a moment to say, well done.
Love it.
It makes my job a lot easier.
Yeah.
Or it makes me sound really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Continuing. My name is Robert, and I'm a graphic designer. It was June of 2006, and my fiance, Jamie, and I were scheduling a trip from Brooklyn to Maine for a college friend's wedding. The reception was to take place in the Tony seaside town of Kennebunkport, which hopefully I said that right.
Sounds great.
On the southern coast of Maine. As usual, we got busy with work and ended up procrastinating with our planning. We took way too long to book rooms at the main wedding hotel, so we had to scramble online to find an alternative lodging. There was some sort of telecommunications conference happening in nearby Portland, so finding an available room was an actual nightmare. After a few days of frantic searching online, my cell phone rang. As luck would have it, one of the hotels we had called got back to us with news of a cancellation.
They killed someone.
Obviously. They had a single room available and it was ours if we wanted it. We couldn't believe our good fortune. Yet, we also should have known that the last room a hotel books is usually not the best room, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's where they kill the people.
I used to work at hotels. That's a fact.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Regardless, room number 17 would be waiting for us at the historic Kennebunk Inn. Kennebunk. That's clever. Cute name. The weekend of the wedding finally arrived, so we rented a car and hit the road from New York City up the Eastern Seaboard. We arrived in Kennebunkport at about 7 p.m. that night before the wedding, just in time to throw our luggage in the room without being late for our reservations at the inn's restaurant, which was supposed to be amazing. The owners of the inn were both trained chefs, apparently.
Oh.
Sounds fantastic. Yeah. As I was lugging our suitcases up the stairs, we met a small family who were moving their own luggage into a suite across the hall. They told us in broken English that this was their first time in the United States from their native Quebec. While French Canadian is slightly different from regular French, my fiancé Jamie was kind of excited to chat with them in French as she spoke it fluently. After a few minutes of conversation, absolutely none of which I understood, we bid them adieu and unlocked the door to our room. The first sign that something was slightly off came when I placed both of our suitcases on the bed and hurried to the bathroom to relieve myself after a six-hour drive. Jamie had gone back down to the car to get her cell phone charger, so it was just me in the room. As I was mid-pee, a large bang from the bedroom startled me to the point where I froze. Worried that Jamie had come back to the room and had fallen, I quickly opened the door and to my surprise, both suitcases were lying on the floor.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. And Jamie was still gone. I remember thinking to myself, those were nowhere near the edge of the bed. How the heck did they slide off?
They were on the bed?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
I thought they just like tipped.
Nope. Ugh. Nope.
Okay.
Regardless of how odd it was, I put them back on the bed and hardly gave it a second thought. I figured it was the Victorian era bed sheets being slippery or something semi-logical like that. Jamie and I changed quickly for dinner and headed downstairs to the restaurant. They were crazy busy, so we had a drink at the bar while we waited for our table. As we sat, imbibed, and chomped on our martini olives, we noticed that the bartender was, pardon my French, sort of an a-hole. He was fine to us, albeit slightly brusque, but we saw him be blatantly rude to at least three other customers at the bar. This included an elderly gentleman reading a newspaper, who seemed like a regular. While my fiancé was texting the bride-to-be, I heard the bartender say something to the elderly man about 3 hours is enough. There are other people who need to be sat at the bar. I'm assuming he was trying to get the guy to leave, but he was definitely going about it in a shockingly rude manner. As the bartender turned his back on the gentleman, a coffee mug from a nearby wall literally shot off its shelf and knocked the bartender in the back of the head really hard.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's dope.
I'm sorry.
That's the kind of ghost I would want to be. Kind of
exactly.
Just like, watch your mouth. Freaking backhand.
Shut your mouth. I immediately looked at my fiance to see if she had seen this, but her head was still buried in her phone. My eyes darted around the bar to see if anyone else might have seen it, but sadly, no one was watching. Not even the elderly man. The bizarre thing was that the bartender didn't seem overly surprised by the event. He picked up the coffee mug from the bar mat and brought it back to the kitchen, acting as if this was a common occurrence.
What?
Mm-mm. They're friends. They're pals, apparently. Him and the ghost.
Well, apparently, they're in a fight.
Weird, right? As I was telling Jamie about it, the hostess came and told us our table was ready. My fiance was thoroughly unconvinced and thought for sure that it had fallen off the shelf by itself. And I was simply seeing things after drinking a cocktail on an empty stomach. I brushed it off and opened the menu. Dinner was absolutely amazing. I had a goat cheese salad and seared scallops with blueberry compote, and my fiance had lobster bisque and grilled salmon with a sweet pepper glaze. Wow, I'm hungry.
I was like, Ashley, that is like Ashley's dream meal.
That is everything I love.
Yeah, seriously.
Can we all go on a date? I'll be the third wheel. It's totally fine. We're both foodies, and we always remember stellar dinners such as this one. As the night wound down with an apple tart, a slice of blueberry cheesecake, and two espressos, we finally went upstairs with bellies full of food and livers full of dirty martinis. I love these guys. After we washed up and got into bed close to midnight, things again started to take a turn towards the odd. It was painfully obvious that the children from the family across the hall had snuck into the hallway after their parents fell asleep. They were snickering and whispering in French and making various noises with their toys, which all came clearly through the thin old door. We assumed that they would be caught and sent to bed within a few minutes, but it appeared as if their parents were oblivious and or asleep. After a solid 10 minutes of annoying chatter and the eventful nudging from my fiancé, I ended up getting out of the bed to deal with this personally. I put on a pair of shorts and opened the door to gently scold the kids. Just as I twisted the doorknob to open the door, however, the hallway suddenly fell completely silent. I took a step forward, and to my surprise, the three children were all sitting on the floor of the hallway, utterly still, looking towards the main staircase 15 or so feet away. One of them suddenly turned around. As his eyes met mine, it was clear that he had a look of pure terror on his face. I took another step forward, squinted a bit, and looked in the same direction as the kids towards the staircase. This will undoubtedly seem equally as crazy as the flying coffee mug in the bar, but I swear that down the hallway, just under a small glass chandelier, were three small toy cars. The odd part? They were floating about 4 feet off the ground and slowly spinning in place.
What?
Yep.
Were they their toys?
Oh my God.
I don't know. I don't want to be here.
He continues. I went to say something, but you know that old cliche of the one's tongue getting caught in one's throat? Well, that's exactly what it felt like. I couldn't make a sound even if I wanted to. I turned back towards our room, hoping that Jamie had awakened, but I could see her shape under the comforter on the bed. I would get no help from my partner on this one. I turned around towards the toy cars just in time to see a strange shadow move from the staircase towards us. A shiver shot down my spine as the shadow suddenly disappeared, the cars rapidly falling from the air and crashing to the floor. The noise was loud enough to wake the kids' parents, who instantly came from their room and yelled at the kids in French. I can't tell you exactly what the dad said, but he asked them to do something. They all shook their heads and then ran by him into the room. He looked at me with a quizzical look on his face as he walked down the hallway, gathered up the toy cars, and said, "I'm sorry about the noise," as he warily smiled and closed the door behind him. I wanted to wake Jamie up so badly to tell her what had just happened, but she was snoring loudly under the covers when I eventually got back into bed. I tried to think of literally anything to get myself to fall back asleep, but the image of the shadow and the floating cars would not leave my head. Sleep finally found me, but it certainly took a while. The wedding ceremony and reception was the next day, and it was absolutely beautiful. The Atlantic Ocean served as their backdrop, and the early summer weather was perfect. The main entree was stuffed lobster. I love that he's a foodie. The main entree was stuffed lobster. The signature drinks were blueberry lavender vodka spritzes, and the DJ played nothing but early 90s dance music.
Now there.
Can I get an amen?
Is my sweet spot. She's like stuffed lobster. I'm like, R&B 90s, please.
The event, to put it quite bluntly, was divine. We were so tired and drunk upon our return to the inn that a ghost could have literally slapped us across our faces and we wouldn't have noticed. Hence, our final night at the hotel was uneventful in a spiritual sense. As we were checking out the next morning, I got over my embarrassment and worked up the nerve to ask the young woman behind the desk about the inn possibly being haunted. She laughed out loud before answering. In room 17? Oh my God, yes. That's our most haunted room.
Why would they not tell them that?
Because it's follow the money, honey. It's a sold room. A fully sold out hotel looks really good.
Ah, oh, dear God.
Continuing, it's usually booked by weirdo YouTube ghost hunters. I'm guessing you guys aren't really into that. We both smiled and replied, not so much. She went on to tell us about the two ghosts that are rumored to haunt the inn. One is a former owner of the inn who is occasionally seen at the top of the stairs early in the morning or late at night. She seems to actually welcome newly arrived guests, so there's really not much to be scared of. The other spirit, however, is a bit more menacing. It's said that he's a former night watchman who worked the late shift at the front desk in exchange for room and board. He organized this late night setup so he could keep his living expenses down. Apparently, he worked at the inn by night and wrote poetry by day. His name was Silas Perkins, and he's a bit of a local literary legend in Kennebunkport. A few of his poems even garnered some critical acclaim in the 40s when one was read by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt at a state dinner. The clerk then went on to explain Mr. Perkins' haunting style, if you will. It's said that he was a stickler about exactly two things while on the job. One, that the hotel staff must be polite and respectful to guests at all times. And two, quiet hours start at 10 p.m., and anyone breaking this rule would get a stern talking to.
Oh my God. I hate this.
Jamie and I smiled, exchanged some pleasantries about our experiences, and headed towards the back door to the parking lot. As I was loading our luggage in the car and thinking about the conversation we'd just had with a desk clerk, it dawned on me. With the rude bartender and the loud children, I had witnessed both of Silas Perkins' golden rules being broken. It appeared as if the poetry-writing night watchman is not only still on the job, but also rather effective at enforcing his two most important rules.
Yeah.
If you ever stay at the Kennebunk Inn, I would highly suggest that you be polite to everyone you meet and keep your voice down after 10 p.m. Otherwise, you might just get a not-so-friendly visit from Mr. Perkins.
I hate it.
Happy Halloween!
I have chills everywhere!
That was such a good one. I loved that.
Literally, my entire body.
I loved that. Full body. Isn't that wild?
That is so scary.
Like, both incidences are scary enough, but also not scary enough to get you to, like, completely freak out. But then hearing about the backstory is terrifying.
The car one?
The car one is scary.
To that watch, scary. Like, all these kids floating, staring, and then floating cars that just drop? No.
Oh,
that was terrifying.
My God.
The cup, I'd be like, I feel like I could mentally tell myself.
Especially because it was very public. Like, there were a lot of people. Yeah. Like, someone could have thrown, maybe.
Why did he throw their suitcase off their bed, though? He was just being a butt.
He was just being fun, maybe.
I'm so scared. I'm never going there.
But you know what's wild? We had a story, was it in our last October series, of someone that went to a wedding in Scotland, remember? And they stayed at a haunted hotel and something similar happened. It was much more of a menacing ghost. But very similar story. Like, they went to a wedding. The place was booked. They had to go to this other place that only had one room available, and it was the super haunted room. Isn't that wild?
I feel like they should have warned them.
The message to be taken away here is, if you're going to a wedding, book it right away.
Book it,
stay in the hotel with the rest of the party. Don't go into some little inn by yourself, because that is asking for some sketchy stuff to happen.
I'm never staying
and then
anywhere.
Every room that you stay in, especially in little inns, old ones, you'd be like, hey, have you
any
ever
rumors?
Experienced anything? Are there stories about
but
this room?
But then it wasn't just the room, because both of those things happen outside besides the suitcase.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm unwell.
I know.
Unwell. Okay.
I'm
ready
unwell.
For mine?
Yes.
I can't do it. I'm like, I'm sad October series is ending, but then I also am like, you know, peace of mind.
at the end of every one, Taryn and I are like, you excited to sleep?
Thank God we record, like, it's light. It's usually during the day. Uh-huh. So by the time I get to bed, like, enough stuff has happened in my day.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, like, stuff will come to mind and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, so I went to Indiana this past week, and one of the nights, normally we were all staying together in the same room, but one of the nights I was in a separate room by myself, and I, like, woke up in the middle of the night just wide awake. And it's, you know when that happens and your brain just starts seeing things?
Yeah.
I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
And I knew, I was like, it's because I've been reading all these scary stories. Like, this is what's happened. This is the risk of October series.
Oh yeah. No
sleep.
For sure. No sleep. No sleep. All right. I'm going to get into mine. So this was sent in by my dearest friend, Alex. And I wanted to give just a slight warning. So, and I'm gonna blow past what I'm about to say, because I can't stay there for too long.
Uh-huh.
But So our families are very, very close. Mm-hmm. And they tragically lost her dad to COVID pretty recently. Mm-hmm. So there's a part where she talks about her dad, and I have a really hard time reading it. So I'm just like warning now, because if I start crying, then people are going to be like, what's happening?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If I start crying.
Some backstory.
Yes, because I just miss him, and I love their relationship and just the way she talks about him. Mm-hmm. So I just want to give that like precursor.
Absolutely.
But yes, I'm really excited to share this story. Okay. Hello, ladies. Love the podcast and love you both. I'm not sure if this completely qualifies as a scary story. Yes, it does. But it was scary when it happened, and I still don't 100% understand what was going on, so wanted to share. This must have been back in 2008 or so. I'm not 100% sure on the timeline, but I know our brothers, so her brother's Adam and then my brother, Ryan, mm-hmm. were in junior high. Back then, they used to ask me to drive them around to toilet paper friends' houses.
Oh, my God.
An era. I really do miss that trend because yes. It was so fun.
Oh, my gosh. It was terrible, so much fun.
But so fun. My mom was the mom, though. She would take us, but then the next morning, she would bring us back to the house with donuts, and we would help them clean it up.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Do you understand why I am?
I never once did that. No.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was always like we'd come back and be like, haha, like it's funny once they saw it, and then we'd help clean up.
I'd always try to throw it as high as I could into the trees.
Yeah.
And then the dads were always pissed because it would just be there and they couldn't
forever,
get it.
Yeah. I was never thrilled to be giving up my Friday or Saturday night to spend it sitting in a getaway car waiting for these two boys to finish vandalizing their friends' houses. But I did it nonetheless. We would go ever so often, and sometimes there would be more boys joining in, and sometimes it was just the three of us. This night, it was just us three. We climbed into my mom's van around midnight and headed to the 24-hour CVS to get the supplies. You know what's funny is I don't think I knew about this. Like, she asked me, she's like, do you remember this? And I don't think I knew.
Okay.
But Ryan, when he was in junior high, he was such a butthead. Like, we were like best friends all growing up, and we still are. But when he went through his junior high years, he became very like, I'm cool and attitude. And I remember I used to cry and be like, I don't even know you. Like, you know what I mean?
That sounds like you.
Oh, fully. He might not have like told me about this.
Yeah, so. Maybe he was trying to keep it from you.
Right? Such a butt. Okay.
He's like, I don't need my big sister.
I don't need you. I know. Now, this was not in October. I remember vividly that this was not around Halloween. This was a normal weekend night, and we were in the store grabbing essentials. Toilet paper, candy, drinks, etc. Necessary things for a night of debauchery with a 12 and 13-year-old. I remember I was standing at the counter paying for everything while the boys wandered through the store. While I was there, I noticed a group of guys come in. I say a group of guys, but I'm not actually sure what they were. The group came in were all completely dressed head to toe in costumes. They had full head/face masks and body costumes on. I remember feeling very uneasy as soon as I saw them. From what the boys and I can remember, because we did discuss this to make sure I had the story straight, there was a rabbit, a clown, and some figure wearing a top hat.
Hell no.
Dude.
I can't. It's bad news.
It could be robbing the place.
It could be.
I imagine like a freaking like February and this happens. Yeah. Like it's not.
It's either way. No. It's bad.
No,
I don't like it.
I think there were four people, but we must have blocked some of it out. The top hat guy, he was also wearing a full mask, so we couldn't see his face, came up to me and tried talking to me. I tried not to engage with him. I'm sure he was just asking about what our plans were for the night, but it was midnight and I was not into small talk.
No,
I told the boys it was time to go and we left. While looking back at the store, we could see all four figures wandering around the aisles in their costumes. We shrugged it off as a very weird interaction and got into the car and headed on our way. We started driving and everything was normal. We were talking and laughing and heading down the main road to get to their friend's house up the hills. After a few minutes, the boys glanced out the back of the car and noticed the car behind us was filled with the costumed people from the store.
No.
The rabbit face person was driving and the clown was in the passenger seat.
Absolutely not.
I laughed it off as weird, a weird coincidence, and kept going. We made our first turn off the busy street and the car followed. I didn't want to say anything to upset the boys or perpetuate myself freaking out, so I stayed silent and calm. I just kept driving the route I knew to take. The car took every turn I did. I would glance in my rearview mirror ever so often, and I was only ever met with seeing the blank faces of a rabbit and clown, dude.
No.
Especially because, like, you know when you look in your rearview, like, you can't see it clear, or, like, if you hit the brakes, it's, like, red.
Red.
Oh, my God.
That's all I was picturing, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Eventually, after a few more turns with the car still behind us, the boys started to notice. They were confused and asked if they had been following us the entire time. I said yes and that it was probably nothing and they were just playing a joke to freak us out. I said that after a few more turns and once we go to their friend's neighborhood, I'm sure they would be gone. That was not the case.
Oh,
we turned down the street that the boys' friends lived on and the car behind us did as well. I told the boys that I wasn't comfortable parking and having them get out while these guys were around. Mm-hmm. They understood, and I drove past the house and down a side street. The car followed. The car followed every turn I made. And now I was not in a neighborhood I knew very well, and that was starting to scare me. And it was scaring the boys. They started getting more agitated and couldn't understand why these guys felt the need to do this. They clearly had plans since they were dressed up, but they chose to follow us three. They never made any motion or tried to get our attention. They never moved or took off their mask.
Of course not.
That's even scarier. Because it's like, if they were like acting crazy, that's one thing. But just the still figures.
It's
like,
always worse.
Oh
it's
my gosh, always so worse. Much worse. None of that helped calm us down. I think the boys tried to get their attention at one point, but I shut that down quickly. I did not want to engage. I was trying very hard not to let my true emotions show, and I was terrified. I was 20 minutes from home with my little brothers driving around a neighborhood I did not know with four full-grown men in body costumes following us.
Yeah.
I couldn't see their faces. I couldn't identify them.
Yeah.
I made the decision to leave that neighborhood and get back on the main road, and the car still followed.
Uh-uh.
We were actually by my ex-boyfriend's house at this point, and I knew the streets well. I turned into his neighborhood, shut off my lights. I weaved through the hills and side streets as fast, as safe, and quiet as I could. The car followed. It was at this point they started randomly flashing their lights at us. They would throw their high beams on, and I wouldn't be able to see anything. I tried to stay calm, but it was hard. The boys were starting to panic. I remember they laid down in the back seat so their heads wouldn't be seen at all. Like, it's so sad. All the while telling me to get rid of them. I was trying, and it was not working. Their panic got worse, and that made me more upset. The car was going between flashing their lights to turning their lights off and going down different streets. They would make us think we lost them and breathe a little easier, then with their lights still off, creep back behind
us. What the hell?
I know. They would speed up, slow down to the point where we could not escape them. I started getting loud. I was voicing my fear and the boys were scared. One of them started crying and rocking back and forth. She was like, she told me after, she was like, I didn't want to put it to embarrass it, but it was Ryan. And I was like, I'm fully going to say it.
Oh, poor
but
baby.
I
would have been scared too.
I am That's in terrifying. My 30s and I would be crying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know. I was in tears and finally had had enough. Our car was chaos. We were all terrified and needed to end this cycle of fear. I decided that the smaller neighborhoods were not ideal, especially because these areas were all close to hills and woods. I needed us to be in public and back on the main road. I put on my lights, sped down the hill to get to the boulevard. The car was right behind me. When we got to the turn, the street light turned red. This was the first time we were at a complete stop with the car behind us since everything had started. At this point, at least an hour had gone by. Like, anyone who's willing to follow you for an hour has an end game plan, right? Like,
100%.
That's not just like...
That's committed.
That's not like, oh, we're scaring these people. That's like, that's sinister
that's
to
deep.
Me, right?
Yeah.
It was now around 1 a.m. and we were the only two cars on the road. Businesses were closed. No one was driving. It was just us. The light turned green and I took off. I sped. The car behind got smaller and smaller and we started celebrating. That ended quickly when the next light turned red and they got closer and closer. Now they changed lanes and we're coming up on the passenger side.
No. That's what I was wondering.
Right?
That's what I was wondering.
They're going to be right next to us. At this exact moment, a cop car pulls up next to us on the other side. We were in shock that out of nowhere they appeared. I know the smart thing to do would have been to get the cops' attention and alert them to the torment we had just experienced. But for some reason, we all stayed quiet. I think we were hoping the car would see the cop and leave us alone. Also, too, like, junior hires, so they don't know. She was, like, young, too. So yeah. I can see the whole, like, just, like, not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Not knowing the best way to handle the situation. Yeah.
The light turned green and all three cars drove together in a line. I kept close to the cop car. None of us made a sound. The air was sucked out of the car. We all just waited to see what was going to happen. At the next light, the car following us finally turned right. They were gone. We had escaped whatever that was and we could go home. A few blocks later, the cop car made a turn and it was just us on the main road alone. We all started to relax and discuss what had just happened. We were still scared and freaked out, but at least it was over. We ended up calling our dad. When he answered, we all started talking at once about what we had just experienced. We explained everything and what the guys looked like in their costume and how they had acted. While we were telling him our story, I happened to glance in the rearview mirror, and all I saw was bunny ears.
No!
It's so scary. I froze, then I screamed that they were behind us and following us again. The boys immediately started screaming and freaking out. My dad calmed us down and very calmly told us to drive home. Yeah. He said to drive straight home, do not make any unnecessary turns. He told us to stay on the phone with him the entire time, and we did.
Yeah.
We stayed on the phone, told him every time we turned, and we told him that they were following us every minute. He seemed so calm, and that helped. Finally, we were on the straightaway of our street. I want to go fast, but my dad tells me not to. He says to pull up in front of the house and turn off the car when we do. As soon as I can see our house, I see my dad. He is standing in our front lawn holding a baseball bat. I started crying because I knew immediately that we were safe.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I did what he said and pulled right in front of our home. He calmly walks over to our car, holding the bat, and the car behind us continues on.
Thank God.
It does not stop. It just keeps driving. The car is gone. My dad taps on the window and tells us all to get out and go straight inside. We do. We open the doors and run.
Yeah.
We get into the house and realize he's still outside. We run to the window to peek out, and he's just standing in our front yard with the bat. He's waiting to see that if the car comes back. He had to make sure the coast was clear. The boys and I sat on the floor of our living room and waited for him to come in. He hugs each one of us and tells us we're okay. He says everything is safe and he will make sure that those people never come back. He tells us goodnight and we all make our way to bed. I know we had a hard time sleeping after that, but it was easier knowing Dad was protecting us.
Yeah.
Sorry. We never were able to figure out that night. We never knew what those guys wanted or what they were capable of. I don't know if they had set out to pick random people to torment, but they achieved that. The boys and I still talk about that night and how terrifying it was. Clowns and rabbit costumes freak me out to this day.
Obviously.
I would literally, like, I'm scared of clowns, but I don't really have, like, a full-blown reason. Like, they just freak me out.
Right.
That, like, no, absolutely not. This isn't a ghost story or a murder story, but it has stuck with us for over 10 years. And the main takeaway here is don't go toilet papering. It's never worth it.
Honestly.
Right?
And it sucks because, like, I mean, at least, like, when I used to do it as a kid, the only time to do it was, like, at midnight when we all know. Like,
yeah,
you don't
everyone
be
had
out
to be asleep.
Walking around at midnight.
You wouldn't get
all
caught.
The sketchy stuff happens.
Yes.
Ugh. Also, the takeaway, if a cop shows up,
yeah,
freaking lay on the horn, wave your hands, get their attention, do what you gotta do.
Well, I'm thinking too, because, like, I mean, obviously she had a phone, so, like, I would know now, like, I would have called 911 right away,
yeah,
and been like, hi, I'm on this street and this street, this car is following me, they're in full costume, like, I need help. But I could see at that time, like, not knowing. And of course, like, you call your dad because you feel safe, you know? And even that, like, the fact that he told him to go home and then he was just, like, there. Like, I see how that it was just, like, they were scared little kids and they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But I cannot even imagine, like, the whole, but the fact that those people were, like, letting them think they got away and then coming back and
an
then
hour?
Following and then a cop's there so they like leave but then they come back like
and like
that's
the cop
terrifying.
Didn't see the group of kids in full costume.
Well, I'm wondering
and I don't
if,
even know what the rules are like can a cop pull someone over just for being in costume at
I think
it's
so.
Fine because it's
especially
just like hey what's going
Halloween.
On and it's also like middle of the night
but the cop pulled on the other side of them. So just... I'm guessing like when they went, the car kind of like pulled back and was playing it safe to not be seen. But dude, that whole night, like I could just feel the terror of what that would be like. Terrifying. Literally terrifying.
That would be so scary. I couldn't. I mean, that would terrify me today.
Like
absolutely
I can't
not.
Even go to a place where everyone's in masks knowing that they're all going to be in masks.
Yeah.
Let alone just like in my normal life. No.
Yeah, Pretty Little Liars scarred me for life with that
one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, cuz A was in the mask, right?
There were so many like mask moments cuz in that show. No. I can't handle it.
I hate masks.
Bad,
I hate that.
Bad situation. Wow. Deep breaths.
Deep breath.
Moral of the story here, guys, don't go into inns. Don't take the last room. Stay in big groups, you know? Be nice to everyone.
Call the police.
Don't go toilet papering, period. Let's just not do that.
I don't know about you, but I feel like tonight when I'm driving, I'm going to be a little bit scared to look in my rear view mirror.
That's me every night. I'm always like, is someone back there? Hello?
Well, I feel like we need it.
It's dad joke time.
It's dad joke time.
We need to lighten it up.
This is a simple, short and sweet. Short and sweet.
I love that.
What do you get when you drop a pumpkin?
Smash.
A squash.
Oh my God. Well, guys, if you heard the dad joke, you already know the drill. You guys are our favorites, and we thank you so much for listening to the entire episode. Heads up, we have one more special October series episode coming out on Halloween. We're very excited about it. So this isn't the end. We still have one more to go.
This is a one time a year we drop a bonus episode.
Yeah, we never do bonus episodes. It's only for October series because it's our favorite. Mm-hmm. So be sure to keep your eyes open for that. Listen to it wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to like, rate, review, subscribe, and do all the
You're
things.
Nailing this.
Follow me and Taryn. Mm-hmm. If you want more of us, that's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
And we'll talk to you guys in the next episode.
Yes, we love you.
Bye.